News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
It is indeed on this Friday, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Text line works really well, 251-343-0106. You'll also be using that line to call us in case you want to be part of the show, or more specifically to win tickets for the Temptations and the Four Tops. They are coming, I guess, in January now, right?
Yeah, so mid-January, okay. January 19th. We'll give those that final pair that we have. We'll give it away later in the hour. And you're right about the text line and how well it works. And well enough that we get memes from you sometimes. And Pat's at one end, and it's a picture of, you know, the notorious Mexican cartel leader, narco leader, El Chapo, who was he in Colorado now? I can't remember where they have him stored away. I think it's one of that maximum security prison in Colorado.
I think you are right. I'd be careful about letting people know where he is.
Pat sent a meme. It's a picture of El Chapo standing in his cell, and it says, El Chapo waiting on an American athlete to mess up in Mexico. Because, you know, if an American athlete gets arrested in Mexico, El Chapo could very well be traded.
El Suapo,
and back to Mexico. But that was the big story yesterday, Brittany Griner and being traded for notorious Russian arms dealer Victor Bout. Now, all day I was saying Victor Bout. Apparently it was the Canadian pronunciation is the correct way to go about that. So Victor Bout is the name of the arms dealer. And did you see the video of the actual trade happening? Did you see that at all? The footage of Bout walking one way and Griner walking the other?
I did.
And I guess that was released by Russian state TV. And it showed Bout shaking hands with a couple people, and then it looked like Brittany Griner was going in to shake Boot's hand, and that was strangely cut right there at that part.
Yeah.
And then you see him continue to walk off. Some people were saying maybe not the best look to see your athlete who got arrested with cannabis oil shaking hands with an arms dealer who was directly implicated in the killing of Americans and many, many other people. But there was been some obviously a lot of reaction to this, and this one polling company. And every now and then they do polls pretty quickly. They got 2,000 responses on this. Do you agree or disagree with the decision to negotiate the release of Brittany Griner in exchange for the release of convicted Russian arms dealer Victor Bout? And strongly disagree came out the heaviest voted in all of this. 37% of the 2,000 responses said they strongly disagree with the negotiated release or trade of Brittany Griner for Victor Bout. 22% strongly agreed with the move by Biden. 15% said they somewhat agree. 15% said they somewhat disagree. And then 11% said they don't have a strong opinion on it either way. But that's surprising to me that 37% said they strongly disagree. And I don't think that's because they didn't want to see Griner free. It's because they didn't want an arms dealer sent over there.
They didn't want him loose.
Right, instead of Griner. Biden talked about this yesterday. Here's what it sounded like during a press conference that he held.
Brittany is an incomparable athlete, a two-time Olympic gold medalist for Team USA. She endured mistreatment and a show trial in Russia with characteristic grit and incredible dignity. She represents the best America, best about America, just across the board, everything about her. She wrote to me back in July. She didn't ask for special treatment, even though we've been working on a release from the day one. She requested a simple quote, please don't forget about me and the other American detainees. Please do all you can to bring us home. We never forgot about Brittany. We've not forgotten about Paul Whelan, who's been unjustly detained in Russia for years.
So that was Biden yesterday, and I believe the White House presser with Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, that might have come before Biden spoke. Regardless, Ducey was there asking some of the tough questions once again of Karine Jean-Pierre.
Thank you, Karine. In this prisoner swap, why did Russia get such a better deal?
Look, you know, I've talked about this, and I'll say this again. Here were our choices. Our choices was Brittany or no one at all. Bringing home one American or no American at all.
And that's a professional athlete. We gave up a prolific arms dealer who was convicted of trying to kill Americans, who was called the Merchant of Death.
The professional athlete is also an American citizen. So let's not forget that. Who deserved
American citizens.
And so and I have explained how the Russians have illegally totally illegitimately treated his situation. I've been very clear on that. We've laid that out for you. And again, the president felt that this was an opportunity to bring Brittany home. He is going to continue to do everything he can to bring Paul Whelan home, just like he did with Trevor Reed, just like he was able to secure Trevor Reed's release.
So that was Corinne Jean-Pierre in the back and forth. And yesterday, you know, everyone kind of went to their sides once again.
And Whelan is not exactly the freckle-faced kid from Iowa, the All-American kid himself.
You know,
his background is all over the place. He's a national, Ireland, right? Great Britain, Canada, United States as well. His parents were British, but of Irish descent. He lived in Canada for a while. He was a Marine reservist. He said he was in Russia for a friend's wedding. I haven't gone to a friend's wedding in Russia in quite some time.
It's been a while, right?
So anyway, then, these trumped up charges, who knows why he got, you know, drawn into all this. Anyway, they said they caught him red-handed with a flash drive and all this. Now, interestingly, with Whelan, he was with the Marine Corps Reserves from 03 to 08, so not a Marine, but a Marine Reserve. I guess that's, you could say it's the same thing, but he was operating as a citizen much of the time. And he was an administrative clerk in Iraq. At the end of that period, he was dishonorably discharged for larceny and other lesser offenses after being found to have tried to steal $10,000.
Really?
Yep. So the Marines kicked him out. At the time of his arrest, Whelan was head of a global security for Borg Warner. That's a Michigan car parts supplier. So, you know, what was he doing in Russia at the time? His past military record in the United States is not outstanding. So it's just, you know, who is the guy? How did he end up getting arrested? Was he up to any funny business over there? I don't know. I'd like to get him home. I thought his brother was rather gracious in what he had to say.
Yeah.
There's no greater success than for a wrongful detainee to be freed and for them to go home. The Biden administration made the right decision to bring Ms. Greiner home and to make the deal that was possible rather than waiting for one that wasn't going to happen. He wrote that yesterday. But he's still, at the same time, very frustrated that his brother remains detained. But I just want to make sure we all have an understanding of who he is and what his past is here in the United States, at least in a little capsule form.
Of course, yeah. And there's also an Alabamian who's been detained over there. And we'll get into that here in the next segment.
That's just a citizen. Right.
Right. Yeah. And a citizen who would have been facing some pretty severe charges over here, it seems. Huh. So we can get into that from AL.com here in a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm just wondering, what is and I see on the text line, I know Screechy Karen. And Screechy Karen, did you name yourself that or did Jeff name? I'm just interested in the name, but said he was going to be released in 4 years. We are Americans and we should be happy that a USA citizen is home. Of course, yeah, and but the people on the left who are like they're acting like you can't think more than one thing at the same time. Like, yes, of course, it's good that Brittany Griner has been traded and she's coming back, but at what expense? That's what a lot of people are asking. You know, she went over there on her own accord. She went over there allegedly with cannabis oil, which is illegal in Russia. Okay, she shouldn't have done that. Was the sentence heavy-handed? Well, according to us here in America, yeah, pretty heavy-handed sentence. Was Russia using that as leverage? Obviously.
Looks like they were.
Yeah. But she was the one who went to Russia with the illegal goods,
mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard her say they were making it up out of whole cloth that she never had that. It's a great thing that we got her back, but at what expense? And who had more leverage? And did Biden use the leverage properly. I don't think he did. How did he not come home with a king's ransom? I mean, you got Brittany Griner. Was there anything else that was worked out in the deal that we don't know about? How do you not get more when you've got Putin? I mean, you should have him exactly where you want him with the way things have been going for him and the war in Ukraine. And what do you think was more important? Who do you think was more important to their country? Whalen, I'm sorry, Boot, who Putin wanted back, this arms dealer, mm-hmm. who, you know, who knows what he's going to be able to do and help them with now that he's back in Russia, or Brittany Griner for America. It was obviously a PR win for the Biden administration.
Yeah, I guess it was. But you have this conversation this morning that doesn't make it feel like a PR win necessarily.
Right.
So, you know.
But am I insane? You can be happy that Griner is coming back, that she's an American who will be safe, a lot safer than she was in the Russian penal colony. But to say that you can't, you know, criticize the trade or criticize the fact that she went to Russia on her own when a war had begun with, you know, cannabis oil. That was a stupid move on her part, and now we're paying for it by sending off a Russian arms dealer.
Some of the more ridiculous conversations, too, have been, well, if the WNBA paid more in salary, then she wouldn't have to get a second gig in Russia and all that stuff, because it was a basketball-related either event or,
yeah.
or she was going to play for a team for a little bit. I'm not sure. It was sports-related, and then people making the argument that the WNBA players aren't paid enough. They're paid enough. They're paid about what they can, you know, they're trying to balance the books in the WNBA.
Yeah.
That thing's not going through the roof with sold out arenas.
Not exactly.
So,
right.
So easy on that argument. And then, Boot changes, maybe that
changes his ways.
Maybe he changes careers.
Hmm.
A career path change for Boot from this point. He was an arms dealer. Maybe he's not going to be an arms dealer. Now, I have no idea how these negotiations went on. Anything that I've read about it, it doesn't clarify exactly how it all went down. All I know is the country's reaction to this, again, is very political.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just very delighted that Brittany Griner is back, as am I, that she's back. But do you have the right to question the deal itself? Hell, we do that in Major League Baseball.
Mm.
When the Braves trade somebody, was that a good trade or not?
Yeah.
We talk about that for an hour and a half on sports radio. I guess we can take the time to break this one down.
Yeah, you'd think that would be allowed. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about this this Alabamian who is apparently in detention in Moscow. I'll tell you a little bit more about that person. But before we go to the break, Shannon texting in asking, where is Dr. Bill? And that's been a big question this week. And thankfully, we actually had Dr. Bill on this morning at 6:30 and 7:30. He gave us that weekend weather scale number, of which Gardner guessed the closest this morning. It was a 1.7520. He's just lost his voice. So
I'm News 5.
We are using, there you go. We are using John Nodar, who you'll hear from in just a few seconds,
yeah,
from WKRG for the updates here.
He's on the way.
But Dr. Bill should be back full speed next
week. It was good to have a conversation with him today. You're right. And be able to talk to him like, hey, he's going to be okay.
But he's doing well.
Yes, he is. 8:20 on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. It's 8:25. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Text line is 251-343-0106. What you got?
We got a bunch of texts. Now, get into that Alabamian that's apparently also in jail in Russia and his story, which was new to me. Karen keeps saying this Boot was set to be released in 4 years. Well, I'm seeing that his release date was August 2029, which would be more like 7 years away. And many things can happen in those 7 years. But regardless of when he was going to be released, you have to ask whether America won the trade,
mm-hmm.
With Griner. Another person asking, did Brittany kneel during the national anthem? That's what Keith wanted to know on the text line. I don't know if she knelt in front of the cameras. Remember, the WNBA and I think maybe some soccer teams, they went a different way about it and said they were going to stay in the locker rooms during the anthem.
Okay.
I'm sure, I don't know. Maybe there's video of her kneeling out there or something.
Does she act differently now? That'd be the question.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are wondering.
Will she stand at attention now, being thankful that this country got her back?
Right. And so you've got this other guy. So Paul Whelan, and that was a lot of information I had never known that you put out there that last segment.
A little sketchy.
But he is certainly not the only American who is currently being held over there. AL.com published this story about a 64-year-old named David Barnes. He's a former resident of Huntsville, says native of Gadsden. He moved to Houston, and he's currently inside of a Moscow detention center after being arrested in January. So about a month before Brittany Griner was arrested for the cannabis oil. Barnes' sister, Carol Barnes, spoke with AL.com from her Huntsville home and said she remains beyond frustrated that her brother's still in jail. She said, unfortunately, it really doesn't give me much hope regarding David's release. I feel that Griner's exchange is mostly because she's received the most media coverage. The Biden administration should have been able to negotiate to include Paul Whelan in the exchange, but this administration is so weak on the world stage, and Russia knows it. That's what the sister of this other guy who's in jail, Barnes, said, notably mentioning that Paul Whelan should have been included, but didn't mention her brother there. His sisters, Carol Barnes and Margaret Aaron, live in Huntsville and Madison. They've spent 11 months trying to bring attention to their brother's case as he navigates the Russian criminal system. So I know everyone's wondering, all right, well, what did he do, or what did he allegedly do?
Why was he in Russia, and how did all that happen?
Strange. His ex-wife, Svetlana, is a Russian citizen.
Okay.
And has accused Barnes of sexually abusing his two sons, 12 and 8 years old, while he was in Texas. Now, this is accusations. At least one of the children has Russian nationality, so Russian authorities have claimed jurisdiction in the case. He faces up to 20 years in jail. They haven't actually determined in Russia whether he's guilty or innocent yet. His family is saying that he's innocent and that this was just the ex-wife putting him in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
His trial was postponed twice, and I guess the trial began mid last month. And the next day of action scheduled for December 15th, so just under a week away, that he'll be back in a Russian court. His sister said, at this rate, with the trial only lasting 2 hours, it could take a year to conclude. Their judicial system, if you want to call it that, is just insane. It was during divorce proceedings in the U.S. that his ex-wife, Svetlana, made those allegations.
Okay, but how did he end up in Russia?
That's a great question. He tracked them down. She left U.S. with their two sons.
Okay.
He tracked them down back to Russia. Now, I don't know who, I guess Texas, they investigated these charges against David and found them to be not credible,
okay,
these sexual abuse charges.
Right.
And they never charged, they never filed charges against him. So he chased his ex-wife, who took their two boys, to Russia, and he entered the country earlier this year and was arrested by Russian police after she made a report. Whelan, not the only one there, I'm sure there's more Americans than just those two over there.
I think there was one more that I knew of was there more on kind of a, I don't know why in Russia, but on, it's a big country, but some sort of a missionary thing, a guy from Ohio. I got to go. I know you're going to hold the show down here for the last half hour, but see if you can find something about that, because he seemed like a darn nice guy that really didn't deserve that sort of fate, the story that I saw.
Try to find out more about that.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know about the Alabamian at all. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5.
And stay tuned, because I do have that extra pair of tickets to the Temptations and the Four Tops will be given away sometime in the next half hour. Also, a look at the Jeff Poor Show and plenty more coming up. Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Thank you, Kane. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Tommy Davis. Hey, Tommy.
Good morning. It's a little cloudy here at McConnell Automotive this morning, but we're here for you. We have got a great selection of inventory. Anything you're looking for, we're locally owned, locally operated. Your money stays in Mobile. We need your business, want your business, and that's a difference in us. We're here for you. We've got an excellent body shop, excellent service department, excellent sales department, and we have a large selection. If you want SUVs, there's 20 of them. If you want trucks, there's 25 or 30. If you want cars, we have them. If you need cargo vans, we have them. If you need work trucks, we have them. If you need diesel trucks, we have them. And we're here to do business with you, Mobile.
You sure are, and that is quite the selection. We talk about it often, but if somehow, some way, you don't have a particular vehicle that someone's looking for, and they let you know, you should be able to find it, right, Tommy?
Oh, yes, we'll definitely find it and get it for you.
Good stuff. Hey, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
All right, there you go. That's Tommy Davis. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and on their great website, McConnellAutomotive.com. 836 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Dan stepping away for the rest of the morning. He'll be back. Jeff Poor also set to come on here in about 30 minutes. But for now, you're left with me, Dalton Orwig, right here on Mobile Mornings. And why don't we go ahead and do this? Been talking about it all morning. We have our final pair of tickets to see the Temptations and the Four Tops at the Mobile Civic Center Theater. Now, this show set for January 19th. A Thursday night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to give away our final pair right here. So caller number 4 to see the Temptations and the Four Tops. You can buy tickets if you don't win this week or next, because believe it or not, we have more tickets to give away next week. You can buy those tickets at the Mobile Civic Center ticket office, the Sanger ticket office, or you can buy them online at Ticketmaster. But that's the Temptations and the Four Tops. And caller number 4 at 251-343-0106. That pair of tickets will be yours. And again, we'll give away some more next week, so make sure you're staying tuned for that. 837, and we'll take a quick look at the text line, which has been humming all morning long. Summerdale Tony says, I missed the weather scale. Could you tell me what it was? I sure can. It was a perfectly average weekend. Dr. Bill, we talked to him. He's been under the weather this week, but we finally got a hold of him today. And he said a 1.7520 is the weather scale number there. Gardner ended up winning this week. And reminder, with Christmas coming up, Dr. Bill said the newest Mobile Weather and Marine Almanacs should be ready to go here within the next couple of weeks. We'll let you know as soon as we get those in. And also many of the other places in Mobile and Baldwin counties where you can pick them up if you want to give some of those as stocking stuffers for the holiday. Pat saying Brittany Griner did not kneel for the anthem. They just stayed seated. Okay, yeah, I saw that they were talking about not leaving the locker room. I didn't think that she had actually knelt, but, you know, what the intent was to show their dissatisfaction with the way the U.S. is being run. Another texter says the NBA subsidizes the WNBA at a loss of $10 to $12 million a year. Yeah, that's been the stat that's been tossed around there for a long time, that, you know, if it weren't for the NBA, there probably would be no WNBA, or at least they wouldn't be playing in some of the stadiums they're playing in. It would be more like a, I don't know, like an outdoor league or something like that. Matt with the meme from Jonah Hill in that movie War Dogs. I guess that's a reference to, let's see. Okay, those are texts from yesterday. The War Dogs thing, I guess that's a reference to Victor Boot, the Russian dude. And I didn't know, you know, I'd seen the movie Lord of War, similar to War Dogs, but Nicolas Cage being an arms dealer in Lord of War. And I guess that was based on this dude that they traded for Griner, this Victor Boot. And both of those, good movies, though, War Dogs and Lord of War. Let's see here. Doug, have you seen the Tom Hanks movie Bridge of Spies? I have not. That's one that's been on the list for a long time, but have not seen the Bridge of Spies. Fish River Frank, who nearly pulled off the win in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Challenge. I think, Frank, did you finish second or third? Somewhere right around there. He said, my question is, does the USA have a bigger carrot to dangle for a trade? I fear not. It seems like Biden was pandering to his base. Jay Bird said Biden traded a RB1 for a kicker. A good football or fantasy football reference there. Another Trip here says the THC cartridge is a felony in Alabama, referencing what Griner was arrested for in Russia. It is, but, you know, the sentencing for Griner a bit more you know, 9 years? Is that what they sentenced her for in Russia? You know that they were using that for as much as they could. And obviously it worked out for Putin and the whole team over there in Russia. I mean, they got Boot back. They got their arms dealer back. And all they had to do was give up a basketball player. Aaron says, I just wonder if she'll stand for our national anthem. I think we got to that a little bit earlier. And appreciate all the texts this morning. 251-343-0106. You can keep them coming in. Another story, I heard Sean talking about this on Midday Mobile a couple days ago. And we had a story from the Target CEO, you know, the shopping, grocery, everything you can buy at Target. So the CEO there a few weeks ago, and I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, but he was talking about how much theft has affected Target all over the country, their entire business, how theft has affected them this year alone. And Dan and I were able to work out the average, and it seemed unbelievable. But he said that each Target store, on average, was losing over $200,000 a year thanks to theft. And it seems insane. Like, you think of the two Targets we have here in Mobile. And I know this is all a big average. So you got Targets in other big cities. But can you imagine that the Target on Bel Air and the Target out there on Schillinger, that each of those maybe on average compared to the rest of the Targets would have lost almost $500,000, all thanks to theft. I've seen the Walmart CEO talk about it as well. I think that's what Sean was referencing the other day. And now the former CEO of Home Depot, he spoke on Fox and Friends yesterday. He said, today, this thing, he's calling it an epidemic. The retail theft. Today, this thing is an epidemic. It's spreading faster than COVID. The degree of severity now, it's not just theft, it's smash and grab. And, you know, we've seen a lot of those stories from cities like San Francisco, where now they're putting, like, baby diapers behind the same plastic guards that you would normally see razors behind. So the CEO, former CEO of Home Depot continues, Bob Nardelli. He said, there's an entitlement out there that if you have it, you've worked hard to earn it. I want it. I'm just going to take it. President Carl Gould said it's not so much the numbers, although the numbers are alarming. It's the manner in which this is going on and the implications for each community and each store that it happens in. That's where the major problem is, because this type of crime emboldens other types of crime, and it only escalates from there. Now, of course, theft, retail theft, it's nothing new, but it seems that we've seen a whole lot more of it over these last few years. You got this story from Georgia. A man and woman confused a cashier in order to steal more than $6,000 in merch and gift cards. And we'll get into a local story about that here in just a minute. But this story from Georgia, this was just a man and woman. So it's not like some of these other stories where 30, 40, 50 teenagers and young adults run into a mall, you know, a Belk or something like that all together and pick up as much crap, as much merchandise as they can and run out before anyone can catch them. This is just a man and a woman in Georgia. They loaded their cart with a bunch of items. This was in Grovetown, Georgia, at the end of November. They got to the register, made several card transactions, and confused the cashier when they asked that the cash button on the register be hit in order for their credit card to work. Their tactic then led to the merch getting rung up as if it would be paid for by cash, so their credit cards weren't charged. They ended up leaving the store with $3,400 in merchandise and $3,000 in gift cards, and the sheriff's office calling this theft by deception. In a similar fashion, here in Mobile, the Walmart on Moffett Road, the Mobile County Sheriff's Office looking for a woman who scammed a cashier out of $1,800 from her register. I didn't know. Are they allowed to have $1,800 in the register there at Walmart? I thought there were certain limits to how much cash you were allowed to hold at one time. But they've got video of this woman walking into the Moffett Road Walmart, told this cashier, who was apparently a new cashier at the store, she said she was part of the human resources department and needed change. And you can see on the video, you can actually see the woman walk into the Moffett Road Walmart wearing a black jacket with gray pants and a COVID mask on her face. They also note that a man came in afterwards wearing a black shirt and gray pants, and I'm not sure the relation between the man that walked in and the woman who was actually on camera stealing this money, but it's noted in this story from WKRG. The overhead cashier video footage shows the woman counting cash and talking with the cashier, and then she actually leaves about $125 in the cashier's hands and walks off with the $1,800 in cash. And then some parking lot video shows the man and the woman getting into separate vehicles and driving away, and Mobile County Sheriff's Office asking for more information. So this seems to be happening more and more often all around the United States, but even right here at home, retail theft. And maybe it's because the penalty just isn't considered as severe as it used to be, or one criminal after another is seeing so many others get away with it time and time again. But it's a big enough deal that Target, Walmart, and Home Depot CEOs are threatening to shut stores down if they can't get it under control. We'll read your text. Also go to the phones here in a minute. 251-343-0106. Mobile Mornings rolls on a Friday. Congratulations, Carol, picking up a pair of tickets, at least Mobile Morning's final giveaway pair, to see The Temptations and The Four Tops next month at the Mobile Civic Center Theater. That's a Thursday, January 19th show. You can buy those tickets at the Mobile Civic Center ticket office or the Sanger ticket office, and of course online at Ticketmaster. And get ready next week, even more to give away on another show on this station. I'll let you find out on Monday who will be doing that. Plenty of text on the text line. Appreciate it. I know Travis talking about Baker Mayfield last night for the LA Rams. He was released by Carolina, I guess that was Monday, maybe even Tuesday morning, signed by the Rams on Tuesday, took over after the first series last night, and then actually led them to a win over the Raiders, leading every NFL player across the country asking why they need to practice at all week in and week out if Mayfield's ever able to step in and do that. Joshua says the original arms dealer movie, Deal of the Century, Gregory Hines, Chevy Chase, Sigourney Weaver, and got to check that one out. I haven't seen it either. And Mixter says, genuine question, did I miss the press conference where Brittany Griner thanks the U.S. for getting her out of Russia? You know, I think she finally got to the mainland early this morning. I guess her wife or girlfriend yesterday was actually, of course, really gracious for them freeing her her partner, but also expressing her sadness, I guess, that Paul Whelan is still in detention over there. I thought she actually threaded the needle pretty good in her portion of the comments that were put out there for everyone to check out. With us nearing the end of the year, on Monday, we will start doing the Alabamian of the Year contest, and we've mentioned it some earlier this week, and then hopefully on midday we'll talk about it again as well. And trying to put together the final list of candidates for Alabamian of the Year. I think we'll start with 16. Right now we've had about a good 20 to 24 nominees, and your last chance, or one of your last chances here, to text in if you think somebody should be included on the list that we'll start voting on Monday. But if you're unaware, Alabamian of the Year, kind of like Time's Person of the Year, which they just announced, who was it? Zelensky, earlier this week, named Time's Person of the Year. Sean Sullivan and I were kind of dissatisfied with the way Time was going with that, and decided to create our own contest, Alabamian of the Year. And it doesn't have to be a person. It can be a place. It can be a thing. It just needs to be, according to you, the most notable thing or person that happened in Alabama for the year 2022. And we've had some great candidates put out there by you guys, and I'll check here on the text line again during the segment and after the show. But so far as athletes or athletics are concerned, Bryce Young is a candidate for the work he did for Bama this year, as they he kind of had to work even harder than he did last year in his Heisman winning season to make sure that Bama finished with the record that they did. Cadillac Williams, Carnell, of course, stepping in at Auburn after the firing of Coach Brian Harsin and winning a couple games that he might not have been expected to win, and then joining the staff of Hugh Freeze. So Cadillac is on there. How about Sergeant John Young? with the Mobile Police Department and the work he's done getting the message out over these last few months about youth violence in Mobile and the surrounding areas, and trying to get these young boys to become men, these teenagers to start acting like they belong. Mulheron Home Hero, that was remember the anonymous hero from just a few weeks ago that jumped up on the top of the Mulheron Home and put out a fire? I think they had an older AC unit that had caught fire, and no one ever learned his name. Before the fire department got there, he had vanished, but only after telling them they needed to get the residents out of the home, and then he grabbed a fire extinguisher and put that fire out. Mulheron Home Hero, he's going to be on no matter what. Somebody nominated Ricky, the texter, caller Ricky, so we'll see if he's able to make it into the top 16. Katie Britt, Senator-elect, of course, she's up there. John Cooper with ALDOT. All the I-10 Mobile River Bridge discussion, of course, invoking his name, as well as the lawsuit down there in Gulf Shores for the new Intracoastal Waterway Bridge. How about Chip Brown, state rep, who pushed Anaya's Law through the finish line? A couple coaches here. Saraland's head coach, Jeff Kelly, they won the 6A title this year. And Terry Curtis at UMS Wright, who became Alabama's all-time winningest head coach this season. The Pritchard Water Board, one of the candidates. Ladd Peebles Stadium. Governor Kay Ivey's purse. A candidate here for the pistol that she conceals in there. Dr. Bill has been nominated. The Bankhead Tunnel for having a record year of trucks that it helped rip the roof off of. David yesterday called in and said the IV needle that the Department of Corrections has tried to use to execute, and it hasn't been working very well this year, as they've now called them off for the time being. And another person nominated, Ben Raines. So those are some of the names we have right now. Would love for you to text in some other names that we can maybe add to the list here before we get started on Monday. Ding Dong and Ho Ho says, I nominate Ricky as Texter of the Year. That is noted, especially coming from you, Ding Dong and Ho Ho. So we'll get this going next week. I know also Sean has been working hard on Locals Only Christmas. That's something that he's been doing every year. If you want to buy some great Christmas gifts, some holiday gifts, and make sure you're spending it with local companies, Sean and the station here are trying to help you do that. So that list should be, or it might already be published, but we'll get that going here very soon too. So you can use that to do your Christmas shopping and spend it right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. 8:58 coming up, Jeff Poor Show. He's got State Senator Chris Elliott joining him in the first hour. And then after that, a probate judge from Tallapoosa County, Talmadge East, joining the show, and former U.S. Rep. Parker Griffith in the final hour. That does it. Mobile Mornings for this Friday on FM Talk 106.5. We'll be back bright and early next week.
Men.